Tonight was the SmackDown before Saturday night's main event. Only have hours left to go before John Cena's final match. And actually, we have a special countdown clock here. It is T-minus 21 hours until John Cena's final match on Saturday night's main event. When I was putting the preview together for tonight's show, they were really promoting it around the idea of this being a celebration of John Cena's career. I was surprised how little focus there was on that. You had little packages and inserts here and there. Not that I minded. I mean, you know, the show must go on. But the way they were promoting this, I thought we were going to get more on him than what we got. But before we get there, we had an actual show to get through tonight. It was a very middle-of-the-road episode of SmackDown. The major plus was the focus that we had tonight on a bunch of new faces, which was really by necessity, because one of the things John Cena wanted tomorrow night was not just to focus on himself. He wanted there to be a focus on the future, right? He wanted there to be a focus on NXT. So because we have a bunch of these cross-branded matches tomorrow night, we had some faces on the show tonight that you will see on Saturday night's main event. One of them is the NXT champion, Obafemi. Get used to it, because if these people know what they're doing, he'll be on SmackDown a lot sooner than maybe some people think. Actually, SmackDown could use him right now. So with any hope, we won't have to wait too long into 2026 to see him every Friday night, because Friday night is really where he should be long and be most effective, I think. Raw, not that Raw couldn't use him, but my God, if anybody can use some NXT talent right now, believe me, it is SmackDown. Especially because tonight we got the official announcement, which we already knew, but they themselves made it official that SmackDown is moving back to 3 hours. On January 2nd, right at the beginning of the year, the very first SmackDown of 2026, SmackDown moves back to 3 hours every single week. And no one is more depressed about this than I am, but this is the reality, and this is the way it's going to be for at least the first 6 months, if not longer. This year, we didn't get 2 hours of SmackDown back until Independence Day. Who knows how long it may go next year? But I could tell you one thing. I keep seeing these reports. I think Bodyslam.net had another one today. The WWE recognizes the need for new faces on SmackDown. They recognize the need for changes on Friday nights going into this three-hour era of the show. I feel like I've been seeing some variation of this report now off and on for months, and nothing ever seems to change. So excuse me if I will believe it when I see it. But if they're going to expand this show, for the love of God, we need Obafemi. We need people like Javon Evans, and we need more women in the women's division. For tonight, we had Obafemi making an appearance to confront Cody Rhodes. We had Javon Evans, who was in action ahead of his tag team match. Him and Leon Slater are in action on Saturday night's main event tomorrow. We had Lash Legend, who is an official member of the SmackDown roster and still has some work to do, but she was a welcome addition to the women's roster on this show, so she was featured tonight as well. And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the one saving grace of this show, which is the United States Championship. It was not so much an open challenge tonight as much as it was just a fucking great match between Ilya Dragunov and Tommaso Ciampa, where Ilya Dragunov got some color because these men were laying their shit in, and I didn't even see exactly what spot it happened on, but Dragunov ended up bloody in this match. So whether it's an open challenge or not, you know, he has become the most reliable weekly part of this show. And I want his reign, long may it continue into the new year, because the minute they take that championship away from him, I fear for this show. So we got a banger of a match from him tonight. So it wasn't, you know, all terrible, but it was just a very middling show tonight that kind of fell off a cliff, honestly, after the first, I'd say, hour. After the first 45 minutes to an hour, the show fell off pretty hard. We actually had a mixed tag team main event tonight, the Terror Twins, Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley against Aleister Black and Zelina Vega. And, we'll talk about that match. It wasn't pretty. This is your SmackDown review. It is Friday night. It is December 12th, 2025. I am the Solemn Monster, closing out yet another week as we head into a big night and a big stream tomorrow night. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Super chats are open. You will see your messages popping up here and there on screen. And I will be reading all the ones that came in a little bit later on here in the stream. Let me also, just for the benefit of those who don't already know, who haven't heard me talking about this all week, but we do have the farewell tomorrow night, Saturday night's main event, 8 p.m. Eastern start on Peacock here in the States. I believe Netflix internationally, if I'm not mistaken. Once the show is over, pull on up here to the channel because I'm going to have a full review and a full recap of all the happenings on Saturday night's main event. Got John Cena against Gunther. We have a bunch of inter-promotional, cross-brand, I can't even say inter-promotional, cross-branded matches tomorrow night. We'll talk about it all live here on YouTube. Bring those thumbs and your super chats and everything else, and we'll talk some Saturday night's main event. That will lead then into episode 942, and I got some fun stuff planned for that for the podcast on Sunday. Shout out to Sidro, who is with us tonight. Is it YouTube or is it Netflix? I see, I thought it was Netflix that was airing it internationally, and now people are saying it's YouTube. Well, wherever it is, all you international folks can figure it out. Here in the States, it's on Peacock. The one good thing about that, it's not on NBC, which means no commercials in the middle of matches. But it also shows you how well Saturday night's main event must have been doing for NBC, that they didn't even bother to wait until John Cena's last match to try to pop a number before they said, "Nena, we're going streaming only on these shows." So anyway, that's where you can catch it. Now, on social media earlier today, we got a video from the SmackDown general manager, Nick Aldis, who had a message. He had a plea to one Drew McIntyre, the very man that he kicked out of the show last week, the very man who he suspended. All of a sudden, he would like to have a conversation about having him back. And the problem, he says, is that Drew has not been taking his phone calls. He has not been returning his text messages. So this video was the only way for him to get through. And so he has a proposition. He invited him to show up here on the show to try to work things out. So anyway, we come back live backstage. Cody Rhodes crosses paths with Aldis. And now Aldis is claiming that he received a letter since then from McIntyre's attorney claiming unsafe working conditions, that SmackDown is an unsafe work environment. And he produces the letter, and Cody takes the letter and he crumples it up into a ball and he throws it away, and Cody makes his way out to the ring for the opening segment. So he gets his entrance, he comes down to the ring, and of course the WWE champion would like to know what people want him to talk about. So he tells the fans that Drew McIntyre feels that SmackDown is an unsafe work environment. He said, "No, the problem is McIntyre is only half in, which is why he's not the WWE champion and why Cody doesn't sweat him." He says that he would fire McIntyre if he were his boss. Well, of course he would say that. I mean, I would do the same thing. If I was the champion, I would fire all of my competition. Naturally, it's the only thing to do. Almost heelish, dare I say. But Cody said he can't fire McIntyre. He can whip his ass. That brings out the NXT champion, the ruler, Oba Femi, getting his first formal entrance here on SmackDown, a scene that hopefully we will see a lot more of in 2026. And he rumbles on down to the ring. He does that little dance that he does, right? Everybody's going to get into the ruler dance. So he makes his way to the ring. Of course, he and Cody are wrestling champion against champion, non-title, on Saturday night's main event tomorrow. Oba tells Cody that he's worried about the wrong person, when the person he should be worried about is the man standing right in front of him, the NXT champion. He introduced himself and said that he was the mountain that you cannot conquer. Oba said that everybody is talking about the future these days and acting like it's this faraway thing, but he disagrees. He was knocking on Cody's front door and telling him that the future is now, and he is the future. He said, "Your time is up. My time is now." And Cody said, "Well, that's a John Cena quote." And he's happy that Oba looks up to him also. Cody then reminded Oba that he's the guy who beat Cena for the WWE Championship. for the WWE Championship. Cody went to go leave. Oba, though, grabbed him by the arm to stop him. And we ended up with a shot of both men staring each other down and holding up their respective championship belts. This was a basic segment in many ways, and actually pretty short, but effective. And I thought that Oba passed his first test here, right? And there wasn't a whole lot to the promo. It was very simple. But the one thing that was very clear to me from the moment they hit his music and he made his entrance and just his presence in the ring and that little face-to-face with Cody, who was the top guy in this company, he belongs there. Certainly doesn't look out of place. He belongs there. And SmackDown, more so than Raw, could definitely benefit from having him full-time on the roster. It'd be a very wise move on their part to move him as quickly as possible, which is why I didn't want to put the NXT Championship back on him in the first place, because my fear was that that means he's going to be down there for a few more months, at least. And then when I saw Javon Evans win the Iron Survivor Challenge, I said, okay, well, maybe he can win the championship from Oba at New Year's Evil at the beginning of next month. And then we see Oba in the Royal Rumble, right? It's all perfect. And who knows? Maybe we'll still see Oba in the Rumble. I don't know what they were going for as far as having Javon bump up his title match to Tuesday. And then, of course, he lost when Ricky Saints cost him the title. So I don't know what they're going to do in New Year's Evil. They may end up doing a triple threat match. Still very possible that Oba may drop the championship without having to take a pin. Maybe that's the idea. As long as we get Oba in the Rumble, because to me that's his entryway into the main roster, then I'm okay with it. And I love that we're getting Cody and Oba tomorrow, because I think it's going to be a fucking killer match. And what a spotlight for Oba Femi, right? It doesn't get any bigger than this early in his career, right? A match on a show where John Cena is retiring. All eyes are going to be on that show tomorrow. They're going to have 19,000 people sold out in that building, and you're facing the WWE champion. So, again, short of a WrestleMania or like a big stadium show, it really doesn't get any bigger than that. But I am genuinely looking forward to that match tomorrow. I would love to see Oba pick up the win. I still think that we get a Drew McIntyre appearance. Maybe he wins off of a Drew McIntyre distraction of some kind, but I would be very surprised if we do not see McIntyre rearing his head and showing up and playing some kind of role in the end of that match tomorrow. Now, backstage, Ilya Dragunov, the United States champion, he was met by Fraxium, and they offered to help him even the odds against Tommaso Ciampa if Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae were to get involved in their match tonight. Dragunov respectfully declined the invitation, saying that he was going to follow John Cena's example and bring the fight to Ciampa and DIY by himself. And that led into the United States Championship. We had Ilya Dragunov against Tommaso Ciampa. No open challenge needed this week. Two of them got in a pretty stiff exchange early on. Dragunov, though, got the better of it with a hard boot to the jaw. Ciampa then targeted the surgically repaired knee of Dragunov with the giant brace on it. It's kind of hard to miss. Outside the ring, Ciampa barely avoided a running charge from Dragunov, who could not stop himself, and he went careening into the ring steps. Ciampa then delivered a suplex that ended up with Dragunov's knee smashing off the top of the ring steps, and he shrieked in agony as they went to commercial. After a break, Dragunov attempted a Constantine special, but the bum knee buckled at the very last second. He did manage to ground Ciampa with a leaping enziguri to the side of the head, and the champion then connected on two German suplexes. He tried to lift Ciampa up. He couldn't do it because of the knee. He did finally lift Ciampa up, though, with a uranagi for a near fall. So Dragunov now, he hobbles up to the top rope, takes enough time where it gives Ciampa a chance to kick him outside onto the apron. Ciampa then hoists Dragunov up. He delivers an air raid crash on the apron. Still, though, not enough to put Dragunov away. So Dragunov comes back with a missile dropkick off the top. After a break, we come back to Ciampa landing an avalanche air raid crash only for a two count. sometime just before, I don't think it was on this spot, but it was sometime maybe right before, Dragunov got his nose busted open. And Corey Graves wasn't sure if it was coming from his lip or his nose. It was definitely the nose. And there was a lot of blood. He was bleeding all over the place. Both men got into it again with a battle of just brutal strikes. Ciampa targeted Dragunov's knee with a dragon screw. Ilya countered a German suplex by Ciampa and hit the torpedo Moscow. At this point, here comes Johnny Gargano. He runs out to the ring. He gets up on the apron. He's running distraction. Meanwhile, on the other side, referee doesn't see that Candice LeRae goes after Dragunov. I think she draped him neck first over the top rope. And this opened Dragunov up for a running knee strike from Ciampa. And still, this is a good near fall. It was as convincing a near fall as we had the entire match. And there were a couple of them. Not enough, though. So Dragunov kicks out. He finished things off after countering Ciampa's fairy tale ending into a pinning combination. So it was hardly a decisive win. It's more like he survived it. But he does survive, and he does retain the United States Championship. After the match, Gargano and Ciampa, they attacked Dragunov until Carmelo Hayes ran out to make the save and got a pretty damn good reception for doing so. And as DIY beat a hasty retreat, Melo went over to Dragunov, helped him up to his feet, and the two of them shared a moment of mutual respect. You know, just think about it. Had Triple H been open to doing five matches instead of four at Survivor Series, you could have put this match on that show and maybe even given them another 5 minutes, commercial free. Would have really enhanced the show. It would have helped out Survivor Series a lot. But as it was, we got it tonight. Excellent match. Excellent hard-hitting stuff. You could tell just by looking at Dragunov's face. There was a lot of blood coming out of his nose. And another great defense. I mean, what more is there to say? Another great defense of the United States Championship. Dragunov is just, he's so damn good at this. He's just so damn good. I mean, he had those people biting on every near fall, and the way he was selling the knee, you know, sometimes in his selling, I feel like he goes a little over the top, but for the most part, there's nobody else in wrestling right now who sells the way the Dragunov does, you know, whatever body part it might be, or just selling exhaustion from a match where even he doesn't have to go 30 minutes with Gunther. You know, he could have a competitive 15 minute television match. And by the end of it, even if he wins, you just look at the guy and he's like wearing the wounds of war on his face. It feels like this man has been in a battle. And there's not a lot of wrestlers, honestly, that I watch right now in either of the two main companies where I see someone who sells the way that he does. And it helps because it sets him apart from everybody else. It makes him unique in that way. Whereas I feel like if someone like him had come along 30 or 40 years ago and was selling like that, he would have been one of many. And sadly, he's one of a very select few now, but it does, I think, enhance his matches and it does make him stand out more. So he's great. And like I said, the people were losing their minds on some of those near falls. Now, Kathy Kelly was backstage with the Bouncy Boy from NXT, Javon Evans, who was asked about his big match tomorrow, where he's teaming up with the TNA X Division champion, Leon Slater. When The Miz interrupted. We've talked about the Jericho Vortex before. We're in The Miz Vortex now. So Miz shows up. He complains about how he wasn't booked for John Cena's final show tomorrow. This led to Evans challenging Miz to a match for later tonight. Miz said that Evans won't make it to Saturday if he gets hurt tonight. And Evans also in this promo, or in this segment, kept calling him Unk. Unk, he kept calling him. And so this was very upsetting to The Miz. At the very end, he called Evans nephew. And then I thought about it. And I said, you know, Miz is old enough where it kind of makes sense that he could be his uncle. And then I got very depressed. So that was a match that was made for later in the show. Big fan of Javon Evans. So anytime we get to see him in action, it only makes the show better. After this, we had the entirety of the Wyatt Six make their way out to the ring, and we got a rare in-ring Uncle Howdy promo. They showed a replay of the brawl last week between the Wyatts and the MFTs, and that's the one where Solo in his promo had the Bow Leave line. So here we go. Uncle Howdy is in the ring, and he's going to speak. He talked about Solo Sikoa's attempts to discredit his family, saying that Solo might not have the power to look within himself, but Howdy did. He said that Sikoa's real family, talking about the original bloodline, the OG bloodline, turned their back on him because he used and abused those that he claimed to love. Howdy called Solo delusional for claiming that the MFTs ran SmackDown because as long as the Wyatts had the tag team titles, the MFTs run nothing. Well, I mean, they might be running people off from their show. Howdy then issued a challenge to Solo and the MFTs that if they wanted the titles, they should come and get them. It was weird. There was a moment somewhere in here, I don't remember which line it was, where it actually sounded like Bo may have forgotten what his next line was supposed to be. at least it came off that way to me, but he got back on track. So we hear that Solo Sikoa's entrance music. And they're waiting for the MFTs to come out, and there's no MFTs. Instead, they appeared on the Titantron, or the LED boards, whatever. And it's Solo at the head of the table, and all the MFTs are standing around him and behind him, and no clown makeup this week. Solo said that the Wyatts didn't call the shots, he did. Then he said that they were going to do things his way, and the Wyatts had better prepare for war. And if Howdy wants to keep his family safe, they should just hand over the tag team titles, because if they don't, the only thing you can do is run. Ooh, I wonder where he got that from. This was not good. This was not good. The Howdy promo was very just, it really wasn't that great. And I just don't care about anything involving the MFTs. There's nothing these people can do to get me to give a single solitary shit about what any of these people do on this show. I'm sorry. If they can find a way to make me care about these guys, whoever is responsible for that should be promoted to head writer of this show. And I promise you it will not be Road Dogg. But maybe there's a magic man somewhere behind the scenes who can do something, who could put together some sort of story or angle on this show next year to get me to give a single shit about the MFTs. That's the person who I want running this show. But right now, I don't. And I don't see that changing. Now, after this, the show really fell off with this segment, and then henceforth, this show really fell off. In the back, Charlotte Flair was hyping up Alexa Bliss for her match tonight when Rhea Ripley wandered over, because she's in the main event tonight. She's not even on SmackDown. Rhea wanders over and says that she and Io, they get the next shot at the women's tag team titles. And Bliss says that she respects them, but she and Charlotte are not going to step aside for anyone. And Rhea wished them luck wished her luck in her match tonight. After this, we got clips of various athletes and celebrities congratulating John Cena on his retirement. We heard from Tom Brady. We heard from Peyton and Eli Manning separately. We heard from Snoop Dogg. We heard from Jelly Roll. Eli Manning was the best. And maybe I'm a little bit biased, the New York connection here, but Eli was the best. He put Cena over, he says, even though he hears he's a big fan of the New England Patriots. But hey, I guess no one's perfect, including the 07 Patriots. Now, see, Eli's got the jokes. It's not just you guys in the chat. Now Eli's got the jokes here. But see, that was a great one, though. That right there, no one is going to be able to top that one tonight. It's funny because it's true. 18-1, Patriots fans. 18-1. We don't forget. So then we had Alexa Bliss with Charlotte Flair in her corner, taking on Lash Legend with Nia Jax in hers. Bliss sent Legend out of the ring with a Hurricanrana, and then as she tried to leap from the apron, she got caught and she got tossed ribs first onto the top of the timekeeper's barricade. Back inside, Bliss took a hard clothesline. Legend jumped up for a big splash, standing splash on Bliss for a near fall. Bliss got a little bit of an offensive flurry, and then she got caught by a forearm shot that Lash refers to as the Lash Minute. On the apron, Jax tripped up Bliss, so Charlotte came over and got involved. She took out Nia. Legend then headed outside and hit Charlotte with a big boot to take her out of the equation. In the ring, Legend then finished off Alexa with her Lash Extension finish. And she pinned her, just like that. 1, 2, 3. Lash is still very green. She's still putting it all together. Nobody can doubt her athletic ability. I mean, you heard Michael Cole talking about it a little bit on commentary and the records that she set, you know, back in college. She's going to go far, you know, and you could tell they recognize that they have something special there, and it's just a matter of bringing it out of her and her putting all the pieces together. It'll be a while yet, though, before she gets there. Alexa, you know, she took some hard shots here in this match. And I'll be honest with you, I'm watching this match, especially at the very beginning, and it looked a little ridiculous to me because she's so tiny compared to Lash, who's just so much bigger than her. And it was hard for me to just buy into. But it served its purpose. And what was the purpose of this, right? What was the primary purpose of this? Even though Charlotte and Alexa are in the hunt for the women's tag team titles, it was to put over how dominant Lash Legend is. Lash Legend is the new girl in town, and the objective right now is, and should be, to try to get her over as strongly as possible. Now, what are we seeing with Jade Cargill right now? Jade Cargill is the women's, I'll get to her in a little bit. She's the women's champion. What has Jade been doing since winning the title from Tiffany Stratton? She's been beating up people like B-Fab and Meechan. You know what that's going to do for Jade Cargill? Zero. Nothing. It's not going to do a damn thing for her. Because she can go around and beat up all the mid-carders she wants to. It doesn't get her any more over than she already is. You can have Lash Legend go out there. And I'm not saying you can't feed her people like that. I mean, that's what they used to do back in the old days, right? You would debut on the syndicated shows and beat up a bunch of jobbers and get your move over. And then eventually you'd graduate to the name talents. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not the way they do things now. But if you really want to get her over, you know what would be more impressive than Lash Legend going out there and beating up Meechan? It would be her going in there and pinning a 5-time women's champion, which is what she did here in this match. You know, Alexa Bliss has been very successful in her career on the main roster, and she just got played with like a toy in that ring and got put down 1, 2, 3. That's how you start to give credibility to the new person. So that was the goal here. I thought to that end, they, you know, accomplished what they were seeking out to do. This is how you make new stars, right? It's something that they have to do with this show, especially now that we're heading back to the 3-hour format in a few weeks. And frankly, even if the show wasn't going back to 3 hours, this show is in desperate need of a reset when it comes to the women's division, especially. This is the sort of thing you have to do to try to make new stars. Today's episode is sponsored by Hims. You know, men deal with hair loss every day, millions of them. If you're one of those people, you may be able to relate to this. You may do all kinds of things to try to hide it because you're very self-conscious about it. You may wear a hat. You may wear a hairpiece. You may actively avoid certain social situations. You shouldn't have to rearrange your life just to deal with hair loss. Hims makes expert care accessible on your schedule so you can focus on feeling like yourself again. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. Doctor-trusted ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop further hair loss and regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. You shouldn't have to go out of your way just to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. No hidden fees, no surprise costs, just real personalized care on your schedule. Think of Hims as your digital front door that you walk through to transport you back to your old self. With simple 100% online access to trusted treatments for real health concerns, all in one place. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/solomonster. That's hims.com/solomonster for your free online visit. hims.com/solomonster. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. But what they did in doing this, there's a flip side to this. They have, at least for the time being, taken Alexa out of, in my opinion, they've taken Alexa out of the running as a potential challenger for Jade. She just went in there and lost pretty much clean to the new girl. I don't see Alexa Bliss having a very good argument for going in there now and challenging Jade for the championship, which I'm not saying that's what they were going to do. But if you wanted to give her some credible challengers, Alexa and Charlotte are right there. They just took Alexa off the table, as far as that goes. Although, the match they were teasing a few weeks ago was Jade and Charlotte. It wasn't Jade and Alexa. But I suppose if they did Alexa and Jade, it would be about as much of a mismatch as this match was. So it would look just as ridiculous to me seeing the two of them together in the ring. After this, we had The Miz. Or as I'm gonna start calling him the gatekeeper on these shows, right? Remember the first Ghostbusters movie? We had the Keymaster. What was it? It was the Keymaster and the Gatekeeper, right? Let's start calling Miz the Gatekeeper. Who is the Keymaster to his Gatekeeper? He took on Javon Evans. Miz got the advantage early with a shoulder block. Started taunting the crowd. Evans sprang up. He had a springboard hurricanrana and sent Miz out of the ring. Miz took over after sending Evans into the ring post, and he had Evans trapped in a crossface after a commercial break, but the rookie turned that into a pin attempt to escape the hold. Evans mounted a comeback with his rebound enziguri to Miz, but that was only enough for a two count. Miz started mocking John Cena. He did a five-knuckle shuffle, and then he tried his own version of an attitude adjustment. Evans, though, instead landed on his feet, or at least, I mean, not really. I mean, that was the idea. Yeah, the idea is that he would land on his feet. Didn't really work out that way. But he sent Miz outside and then went soaring over the top rope with a big dive out to the floor. Miz tried to counter an OG cutter into a skull-crushing finale. That didn't work. Evans finally connected with the OG cutter to pick up what Michael Cole referred to as the biggest win of his career. Yes, and Miz, for the record, has not won a singles match in all of 2025. Perspective. Always very important to keep perspective on these things. I understand that Miz is a former WWE champion, and I understand that Miz not only main evented a WrestleMania, but he beat John Cena at WrestleMania. Don't take my word for it. Just ask him. He'll tell you. Right, he's won almost every title there is to win in this company. Money in the Bank. Like, he's done a lot of stuff. All right, he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer when it's time for him to go in. And all of that being said, a win over The Miz in 2025 means nothing. It has been rendered completely meaningless. You can rattle off all the accomplishments that you want to. No one is going to look at a win over The Miz these days as the biggest win of anyone's career. And that's just the sad reality of it. You are only as strong as how people see you today. And only as strong as how you are booked today, not 10 years ago. That's the distinction. Miz is back to playing the role of gatekeeper here. I mean, this was fine. Again, it was all about showcasing Javon Evans for a few minutes, before the bigger match, which is him and Leon Slater against AJ Styles and Dragon Lee on Saturday night's main event tomorrow. Like all these new players that have matches tomorrow, and even Bayley and Sol Ruka, very, very brief, but they did show them in the crowd. I mean, they didn't really do anything with them, but they were at least on the show. So it was about shining a spotlight on most of these new NXT faces that are going to be on the show tomorrow, getting them a spot on the show and doing something with them that would just give them that little bit of momentum and just highlight to the audience watching at home, hey, this is someone to pay attention to. And that's the only reason that this match existed. Clearly, whatever they were planning on doing with Miz and Carmelo Hayes, that has been scrapped. And you know what? It's for the better. It's not anything that Carmelo Hayes, honestly, at this point, not that they couldn't go out there and have a good match, but what does Carmelo Hayes gain? If they would have kept that thing going and built to a big match, which honestly they should have done for as long as they were dragging that story out, to not do like a big blow-off match is pretty ridiculous. But let's be honest here. If they had done it, what does he really gain from it? Not much. That's my point. He gained more from coming out there and getting a big reaction from the crowd and saving Ilya Dragunov. And maybe eventually building to him finally winning the U.S. title. That means far more than any match would have with The Miz. But they have very clearly scrapped that because they have not interacted at all or talked about or mentioned each other at all in weeks. I will say this about Javon Evans, though. The height that he gets on some of those jumps is unbelievable. And I just hope he doesn't break a leg or an ankle one day. Like there was one jump or dive that he did tonight where as he was coming down, I'm like, man, he's coming down from a pretty high distance there. I hope he doesn't roll an ankle. He's got a fucking match in 24 hours. Boy, that would have sucked. So that's the only thing I worry about with him. Sometimes he gets a little too high. Not in that way. But maybe he does. I don't know. Backstage, Rhea Ripley was confronted by Nia Jax and Lash Legend, who threatened to do what they did to Alexa Bliss to Ripley. And Ripley was unfazed by their threat and told them that she and Io Sky were gunning for the women's tag team titles. So after they left, Rhea spotted someone we couldn't see. And then the camera panned over. It was Jade Cargill. So we had a very brief, uncomfortable stare between these two women, perhaps foreshadowing a WrestleMania match. Seems unlikely. It would seem more likely to me if Bianca could not be back in time for Mania. Then maybe they would do Jade and Charlotte on that show. But you can't rule it out, right? You can't rule out the possibility that maybe Rhea switches brands and Rhea and Jade on the table maybe as a potential WrestleMania match. So no words were exchanged between the two of them. Instead, Jade just started to make her way towards the ring for her scheduled match with Meechan, a match that never took place. Because after a break, as Meechan was delivering a promo while walking towards the gorilla position, she was talking a big talk, man. She was going off on Jade and talking about bullying, I think, and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she gets attacked by Jade Cargill and put down like a geek. And Jade throws her into the wall in the gorilla position. And then she calls for her music. I should point out to you that Jade was not even dressed for a match. Her match was scheduled. But she didn't look like she was in her usual gear. So she gets into the ring and she immediately demands a microphone. She said that what happened to Meechan is what happens when women don't know their place in the back. Jade said that she's that bitch. But as she said the word bitch, she got cut off by Meechan's music. She came walking out, licking her wounds, but she had a kendo stick. She was being surrounded by a bunch of officials who were trying to convince her to go backstage. She wouldn't have any of it. So Jade met her in the aisleway, and Meechan worked her over with the kendo stick. Meechan then went under the ring and pulled out a table, which of course got a pop from the crowd. But before she could do anything with the table, she got dropped with a big boot. And Jade rolled her inside, and then Jade slides the table back under the ring. And the crowd booed. Easy heat. You want easy heat, You tease a table, and then you don't give it to them. You'll be the biggest heel in the building. So she gets into the ring. She no-sells. Meechan's punches, and then she chokeslams her. And I will say the chokeslam looked great. And she got some good height on it. And then Jade left the ring, and as she was leaving, she's looking into the camera, and she's calling for some real competition. Yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice. It was a segment that happened. That's what I wrote in my notes. It was a segment that happened. And it's not one that does anything to enhance an already very bare-bones women's division on this show. The show going from 2 hours to 3 hours, I know people have this like thought in their head that, oh, this is going to be great because now there's going to be an extra hour and they can feature more people with that extra hour. And theoretically, sure, that's true. But adding an extra hour to this show is not going to be a cure for the disease that has afflicted this show. The key is to get Jade some real competition. And at the same time, start building up new faces like Lash Legend and others so that 3, 4, 5 months from now, 6 months from now, we could be having a totally different conversation about what this women's division looks like on SmackDown. It is doable. It is absolutely doable. It's something they should have already done by now. I don't know why they dragged their feet for so long that I have to read these stupid reports about how, well, they recognized the show was in need of... What took them so long? Why did it take them until the end of the year, when they're on the cusp of 3 hours, to realize, oh shit, we better shore up this show. We better shore up this women's division. Oh yeah, no shit. Dude, I could have told you that 6 fucking months ago. Why did they drag their feet for so long? Now they have no choice. But it's absolutely possible. It's absolutely doable that this show, you could do a 180 just on this division alone in a matter of months. Look at the SmackDown Tag Team division at the beginning of the year. And through much of the year, WrestleMania, even on into SummerSlam, right? It was one of the hottest parts of this show. They were cooking with oil with those tag teams, those 5 or 6 teams that they had in the division. And now it's gone cold again in a matter of a few months. You can take something that's cold and heat it up, right? Right? You do that with a fucking microwave. You can do that with the SmackDown Women's Division. Put it in the microwave and heat it up. But to do that takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. That's why I just cannot understand why it took them so long to start calling people up from NXT. I mean, do you think that these women, that any of these people, are just going to be over on day one? You know, not everybody looks like an Obafemi. It takes time. You can establish these people in front of the NXT audience. The main roster audience is a different animal. And it will take time for people to, you know, to build equity in these characters on this show. This is something that should have started a long time ago. And they're already behind the eight ball on this. But Jade Cargill is the one that I look at on this show. And honestly, Stephanie on Raw is not much better. They have really dropped the ball on coming up with compelling challengers for their women's champions. And they're so focused, so hyper-focused lately on those women's tag team titles that they do so at the expense of their two individual titles. I would much rather have a strong, robust list of challengers for Stephanie Vaquer and for Jade Cargill than worry about who's in contention for the fucking tag team titles. Who cares? Let's focus on what matters here. I understand that Bianca being out for so long probably fucked up a lot of their plans, but she's not the only person they have, and we still don't know when they're going to have her back. So they've got to shape up real quick, but it takes time to really build these people up. It's terrible. It's just terrible how they've let this fester for so long. I just don't understand it. They close the show with the Terror Twins, Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley, taking on Aleister Black and Zelina Vega, now going just by Zelina. Black attacked Priest as you talk about a feud that's been going on forever. This is the case with Damian Priest and Aleister Black. And when they announced that Rhea Ripley was coming to SmackDown for a mixed tag with Priest to take these two on, it just reeked of, okay, we've got to really try to heat this guy up. And so how do we heat up Damian Priest? We put him back together for 1 week with Rhea Ripley. That's legitimately all this was. Black attacked Priest as he was posing on the top rope. So that kicked things off. Soon, though, he found himself on the receiving end of a clothesline that sent him out of the ring. Priest then pointed towards Rhea and was going to go make a tag, and then Zelina jumped on his back. And he just completely no-sold this because it's like a bug on his back. I mean, the size difference between these two. So he tagged in Rhea anyway. Ripley blasted Zelina with a clothesline, actually a series of them, followed by a knee to the face. Zelina targeted Ripley's arm with a submission over in the corner coming out of a break, followed by a meteora from the top rope for a near fall. And then Zelina, I don't know what she was trying to do. She whiffed on some kind of leg scissors move that she was, I have no idea what she was attempting to do here. She opted for a DDT instead. Ripley got a hot tag to Priest. Zelina climbed on his back again. Priest ditched her, but Black took advantage of the distraction. He went on the offensive. Priest ended up in his corner and Ripley tagged herself in. So Black and Zelina, they end up nailing stereo moonsaults onto their respective opponents outside on either side of the ring, opposite sides. And then there was a terrifying botch. And not the only time in this match where they just were not operating on the same page. Rhea Ripley tried for Riptide. Zelina ended up somehow, you know, now you've all seen Rhea Ripley deliver Riptide, right? Where she picks the woman in a pump handle position and picks her up. In this case, she lifts up Zelina, who I guess was trying to counter out of this move. Zelina ends up on Rhea's shoulder, as if Rhea was going for either like a shoulder breaker or like a Ron Simmons dominator. Okay, so just visualize that. So that's the position that she's in. And I can only imagine that Zelina was attempting to do some sort of reverse code red. That's my best guess as to what she was attempting to do here. Because she goes... See, again, I'm trying to describe this in a way where you can visualize this. Zelina goes forward, right? She's laying out across Rhea's shoulder, but she goes forward, so behind Rhea. And I guess the idea is that Rhea is going to go backwards with her. Well, the only thing is, as Zelina goes forward, she hasn't fully rotated yet. Rhea falls backwards. I'm not even sure whose fault this is, to be honest with you, but Rhea goes backwards. Zelina had not fully rotated. She got folded up in like horrifying fashion. So she's lucky she didn't break her fucking neck on this landing. The referee immediately, Ryan Tran, immediately went over to check on her and make sure that she was okay. She got bent in half. This looked awful. But she recovered and she hit a proper code red for a near fall. And again, there were multiple moments in this match where it was a mess. This ended with Priest and Ripley delivering stereo razor's edges to the two of them. And then Rhea finished off Zelina with a proper riptide and pinned her for the win. And then after it was over, the cherry on top, Michael Cole on commentary yells, "Priest and Zelina with the win!" Yes, actually a very appropriate piece of commentary for this main event here. Priest and Zelina with the win, according to Michael Cole. Look, I don't want to bag on Zelina too much here because I know she just lost her uncle. She just posted it yesterday on Instagram about it, a whole post. She was very close with him. I don't know exactly when he passed away, if it was within the last few days or a week ago. I don't know when it was, but she lost someone she was very close with. Maybe her mind was elsewhere, but the reality is this match was a mess. This match was an absolute mess. The people like seeing Priest and Rhea, though, especially Rhea. So, you know, this whole Terror Twins thing, they mentioned coming into it, I think they were 6-0 together in mixed tag matches. So, you know, that was a fun thing for the live crowd who got to see Rhea Ripley on a show that normally you wouldn't see her on. But to go back to Priest and Black, Damian Priest and Aleister Black, they have been feuding now for what feels like centuries. In reality, it's been months, but they've been feuding for a while now. They are in, and I defy you to tell me I'm wrong, they are in exactly the same spot that they were in at the beginning of all of this. And Priest wasn't exactly in a great spot, right? He has cooled off tremendously since we last saw him on Monday Night Raw. They are in exactly the same spot they were in at the beginning of all of this. This program, this feud, this rivalry has not helped either one of them. Other than, yes, it's gotten them on TV. So what? What has it meant? What has Aleister Black really done since he came back earlier this year? What has Damian Priest really done, really, since he got called over to SmackDown, from Raw to SmackDown, right? What has he really done that you can honestly look back on and go, boy, you know, that's a memorable Damian Priest moment, right? I mean, he feuded with Drew, but like, he is not in a better position than he was in a year ago. And he's certainly not in any better of a position now than he was at the beginning of this feud, and he won the match tonight. Which would seem to put a period on this. I don't really see the need for this to continue on. This is a pretty decisive win here for him and Rhea. But I don't see how this program has really helped either one of them. Honestly, this is as cold as Damian Priest has felt to me since he joined the Judgment Day. Him joining the Judgment Day was a turning point for him. Now, I know he did the stuff with Bad Bunny and all that, but like, him joining the Judgment Day was the best thing that could have happened to him because it added character depth to him. And we all know how many segments the Judgment Day get on television every single week. So all those television segments and the stuff with him and Balor, and it's like, it really was a huge positive for him. And this is as cold as he has been since before he joined. And for Black, I don't know what their plans are for him heading into WrestleMania. It honestly feels to me like he may not even get a WrestleMania match. At this rate, I'm not sure Damian Priest is going to get a WrestleMania match. You know, and we still have a few months left to go, but you can kind of start seeing where certain people may fall in you know, in terms of the card. Maybe not who they're going to face, but like, oh yeah, I could see this person having a match, this person maybe being in the main event. If you were to ask me, what do I see Aleister Black doing at WrestleMania? What do I see Damian Priest doing at WrestleMania? Facing each other? I don't know. Beyond that, I couldn't tell you. I have no idea. This was a very, very middle of the road show here. Again, with less focus on John Cena than I was expecting, given that was the main thing they were promoting, really, you know, coming into tonight. But again, I stand by this. The major plus was the focus on the newer faces, you know, Obafemi and Javon Evans and Lash Legend, Ilya Dragunov, right? He may not be a newer face. Oh, he is still, I would say he's relatively new still to SmackDown. But yeah, he's been around for a while, but he continues to be the MVP of this show. He has been the MVP of SmackDown now ever since he returned. Literally the night he returned. Ever since then, he has been the MVP of this show and continues to be. So I liked those elements of the show tonight, and the match he had with Ciampa was fucking great. It's been a while since we've seen Ciampa have a match that great. You know, like a singles match like that. I'm not talking the TLC match he was in. Because we really haven't seen singles Ciampa, like the one we got from the NXT Black and Gold days, like Goldie and all that. Like, he hasn't emerged on the main roster. Only now we're really starting to see signs of that Tommaso Ciampa. So we got to see a little bit of that tonight. I would like to think that this is the start of a pattern as far as featuring some of those faces we saw tonight. But the reality is, why did we see Obafemi tonight? Why did we see Javon Evans tonight? Because they have matches tomorrow. If they weren't on that show tomorrow, if WWE got their way, if Triple H got his wish and did what he originally wanted to do, which was make tomorrow entirely a tribute show to John Cena, we don't get Javon Evans or Obafemi on this show tonight. That's the only reason we got them. And so I don't know when we're going to see them again. So for tonight, it felt great. Oh, it feels fresh. We actually have some new faces here. But that may not last very long. But hopefully, as they flip the calendar to January, we will start to see some of these faces a little more often, because it's going to take time for fans to, you know, really, again, buy into these newer faces. now is the time to start getting people familiar with them. We know they're going to 3 hours on January 2nd. I am dreading it. You can make all the points you want to make about how this is going to be a good thing because there's people who are sitting in the back and catering who aren't getting chances to be on the show. Whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? That's Triple H's fault. That's Triple H and Road Dogg's fault. You could rotate people in and out on a two-hour show. They choose not to do it. So sure, maybe some of these people will get more screen time on a three-hour show, but it always comes down to creative. You could have a five-hour show. I don't want to give them any ideas now. You can have a five-hour show. It doesn't matter if the creative sucks. So, of course, I'm hoping we get to see more of Carmelo Hayes. I hope we get to see more of Rey Fénix, who's been a ghost on this show. And some of the tag teams who also have seemed to have disappeared. You know, where's Montez Ford and the Street Profits? But it all comes down to creative and compelling matches and compelling stories. I don't really have a whole lot of faith and trust in the brain trust there right now to give that to us, because I feel like if they had the ability to do so, we would be getting it already, and we're not. So I don't have a whole lot of faith as we go into this new three-hour era. I'm dreading it. I certainly hope that they can prove me wrong. But right now, it's like I'm counting down the weeks and just trying to enjoy these two-hour shows while we still have them. Not that these shows are all that great every week, but... Oh, man, January 2nd, I'm just... Good Lord. 3 hours of this. Tomorrow night is Saturday night's main event. It's a very short card. Let's run through it real quick. We've got AJ Styles and Dragon Lee taking on Javon Evans and Leon Slater, the TNA X Division champion. I am very much looking forward to this match. Probably the closest that we will get to seeing AJ Styles and Javon Evans or AJ Styles and Leon Slater in a ring together. AJ put Slater over in a big way back at Slammiversary. Cut came out to the ring and after he won the championship from Moose and cut that great promo and put him over. So now we'll see what they can do in the ring tomorrow. I am expecting an AJ Styles Dragon Lee win. I've seen conflicting things about whether or not now the tag team titles are on the line. I don't think they are, but I've read conflicting things about that, so I'm not sure. But AJ and Dragon Lee, either way, I think, are going over in this match. We have Bayley against Sol Ruka. Little showcase match here, WWE against NXT. Nothing, you know, nothing on the line, as is the case in all of these matches, but it's a big spotlight on the NXT talents. And Sol Ruka is another one. You know, we talk about Oba and Javon. Sol Ruka is ready to be on TV right now. Sol Ruka would be a welcome addition to the SmackDown Women's Division. That Soul Snatcher is going to get over on week one. I don't think it's going to take very long for her to get over with that move. In this match, I think you need to have at least one of the NXT talents winning. While I would love to see Oba win, I'm going with Sol Ruka. I think Sol Ruka beats Bayley. In the Cody and Oba match, I'm not sure what the actual finish will be, but I don't see it being a clean, decisive finish because Drew McIntyre is going to get involved. So whether that results in a no contest or a disqualification, I'm not sure. I don't see Oba just straight up beating Cody. I don't think they want to go there, but I do think we see Drew McIntyre. And Oba, frankly, Oba does not have to win. Oba's going to get over just by going out there and having a killer match with Cody, even if it gets fucked up at the finish. It's a big night for him. And then in the main event, which is going on last, none of this bullshit about opening the show, which would have been ridiculous. Even if John Cena wanted to go on first, I would have overruled him and said, no, you're going on last. We built this whole fucking show around you. You're going on last. John Cena, last ever match. He is insistent that he will never wrestle again. And I believe him. I believe this is it. We will never see him back in the ring wrestling again. He takes on Gunther. The perfect final opponent for him. It's too bad we didn't get any sort of interaction on television between them in the week or two leading up to this match. So maybe, you know, in the vein of those old school Saturday night's main events, where you would have Mean Gene in the back interviewing people before their match. Maybe we'll get like one good spirited backstage John Cena promo one last time before his match tomorrow. But this is it. And I have been saying this now for a few weeks. I believe that John Cena should win this match. I think John Cena is going to win this match. I'm picking him to win. I think it's the right move to make. I think everything has been set up. Like even Gunther on Monday night, he comes out there and he also, well, I'll put it up too since I brought it up, but you know, he put that countdown clock on the screen. There it is. T-minus 20 hours to go. He had the countdown clock up on the screen. He was telling us about all the things he's going to do to John Cena on Saturday. I'm going to wrap my arms around him. I'm going to squeeze every last bit of hustle, loyalty, and respect out of his body, and I'm going to make him do the one thing he has vowed to never do. I'm going to make him give up. It's like he laid it all out. So now I feel like if Gunther goes in there and just does it, I don't know, what a lame way for John Cena's career to come to an end. I think for this story, it works better if the babyface goes over. I don't give a shit that he's leaving and Gunther is staying. For tomorrow, I think the right finish is John Cena winning. And then sending the fans home happy, giving them what they want to see. Then he can cut, you know, his post-match promo, his retirement speech, and just give the fans, you know, a night that they can smile over and look back on and go, man, this was great. You know, maybe they didn't get it right, you know, for a lot of this retirement run, but they got it right at the finish. And they say, you know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So you could squander a lot of goodwill, depending on how this match goes, or you can really leave the people, I think, with a happy moment. So I'm picking John Cena to win. There you go. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. Let's take countdown off the screen there. What did you think of SmackDown before Saturday night's main event? 59.8% thumbs up and 40.2% thumbs down for tonight's show. And you can vote at Solomonster is the place to go. We get into your super chats here. We are currently sitting at 293 likes. That's not going to get it done. That's not going to get it done. But we always have tomorrow night for Be the Booker. LA Knight's final match was on Monday. That's right. We should be celebrating LA Knight's final match. Lakers Pats, when Cena has Gunther beat and Fiend starts playing. All right, Lakers Pats, I'm gonna have to just like ban you from all future streams. Like, I don't want to hear Fiend. I hear it on the radio, I turn the channel. I don't want to hear it. No Fiend. Holiday says, I would like to see Ilya keep the U.S. title until WrestleMania, given he has good matches. The weekly U.S. Open challenges won't make it feasible, though. He's likely dropping it to boring Tama Tonga, and MFTs will hold tag in U.S. gold. Is that their great plan for when SmackDown goes to 3 hours, to just put all the gold on the MFTs? Because that'll be a great way for me to stop doing SmackDown streams. Prime dried ribs and chicken. After the Street Fighter 2026 movie trailer came out, WWE and TKO could be more tempted to book Cody Rhodes Roman Reigns 3 at WrestleMania 42. They can book whatever they want. I think that would be stupid. I hope not. Obafemi is Thanos, Darkseid, and M'Baku of WWE. Who is M'Baku? Everybody in WWE is too clean, polished, and shiny. Everybody needs to wrestle in the dirt. I'm going to start calling Triple H Mr. Clean. Well, he certainly looks like him. Broly 7, aside from a few, why do the women on the main roster wrestle in slow motion most of the time compared with the fast-paced women from NXT? Is it a producer thing? I think it is. I think it is. I think you can see stylistically there are changes in the way that some of these women wrestle. I don't know exactly what the reason is for it. It's possible, you know, they just allow them to do more things in NXT. When you get to the main roster, it's just a different beast. But I know what you're talking about. I it's like subtle changes, but I've noticed it myself. Dry Chicken says, Vecna from Stranger Things tells Triple H it's time for Melo's push in WWE. You don't need Vecna. It's been time for a Melo push in WWE. Aaron says, buy, rent, sell. Who will be the bigger star? Oba, Braun, Jacob, and Sol Ruka, Roxanne Perez, Blake Monroe. I hope they all get over as big star. As far as the biggest star, I mean, I think Braun Breaker is the one that they're positioning to be the biggest star. So, probably him. And then on the women's side, I think, man, I mean, the sky's the limit for Blake. You know, Mariah May is awesome. I mean, all three women are awesome, but I'm going to say of those three, who will end up being the bigger star? I'll say Sol Ruka. Scumdog, thank you for the 10. No message, just showing some love. Prince Vegeta says, for some reason, the H-Man gives Priest the win in every feud. Finn and Black, even Drew. This Aleister Black feud should have been wrapped up months ago. Yep. Don't really have much more to add on to what you said there. The Sheltered Kid. Why is Trick Williams still not called up yet? I have a feeling he will be on SmackDown in the new year. Because he would fit right in there in that U.S. title picture. And I even mentioned something about that maybe a month or two ago. Where if Melo gets the championship... Actually, I think the way I presented it was, in terms of these open challenges, where Melo was going to come out to accept it, but he gets attacked by Trick, and Trick comes out instead and accepts, like on his first night in and wins the title, something like that. But, you know, if Melo ends up with the United States Championship, I would get Trick on SmackDown, and you can build to a Melo-Trick feud over the U.S. title. Plus, then you get Trick and... Lash Legend on the show together since they're an item. Actually, just got engaged over Thanksgiving. Retro KOH, where does Cody get off saying that he would fire Drew when we saw him begging Aldis to reinstate Drew not long ago? He's a damn heel. There's a heel buried under there. Heart of Debonair. Hey, Solomonster, you're why I got into podcasts. That's awesome. We talk about the men's Mount Rushmore, Rock, Hogan, Austin, etc. If wrestling ended today, who is on your women's Mount Rushmore? I don't know. I mean, I kind of hate the Mount Rushmore questions, honestly. I mean, they're so played out. I mean, if I had to have some women... in mind for a Mount Rushmore spot, I think Becky's on there. Probably Trish. You know, I'm inclined to put Mercedes on there. And then as far as that fourth person is concerned, man, I'm tempted to put Asuka. I'm tempted to put Asuka on there. So yeah, maybe some combination of those women. You know, but then you're leaving out people like Mayu Iwatani and your Aja Kong and you know, Dump Matsumoto and Manami Toyota. I didn't grow up watching those women, but I know how great they are. How do you leave them off of Mount Rushmore, you know? But again, it's my Mount Rushmore, so it's all subjective. Christopher, you knew exactly what you were doing. Forgot that was the Kyrie super chat. Thank you, Christopher. I'm going to get to yours in a minute. And Heart of Debonair, you made me think. It's not one of those questions you could just think of on the spot, though. It's just, there's been so many women over the years Yeah, someone mentioned Sherry. Like, I thought Sherry was great, but, you know, in terms of, like, her in-ring work and her accomplishments, honestly, it doesn't hold a candle to what some of these women today have done over the last 10 years. Now, if Sherry were a part of this era, like prime Sherry, Sherry would have fucking killed it. And I think Sherry absolutely would have ended up in a Mount Rushmore spot. But she just came up at a different time where, you know, she wrestled, but there wasn't really much of a division back then. And then the majority of her work that she's remembered for was as a manager. But I would be open to having Sherry on there. I think Sherry was like, I look at her like the way I look at Bobby Heenan, where Bobby could do it all. You know, Bobby could wrestle. That's how we started. Bobby could wrestle. Bobby could manage. He could commentate. He could do so many different things. And that's what Sherry was. Sherry could wrestle. She could manage. She could help get other people over. That's what she was doing with Shawn. Shawn Michaels has complimented her for that. You know, she was really helpful to him at a time when he was first coming up as a singles heel. But there was a reason they put her with so many different people. You know, they had her with Savage and DiBiase and Shawn, and because they, you know, trusted her in that spot because she was a great manager. Hank says, what's the last WWE shirt that you bought? I bought the Cody Rhodes shirt a couple years ago. He came out, actually it was the design I think he got sued for. But it had American Nightmare in it, but it's like the red, white, and blue design with the dog. It has Pharaoh's likeness in there. I like the way that looked. So that would have been the last one. Holiday says, we're probably getting Cody against Drew for the title on the January 2nd SmackDown. Gee, if only somebody had pitched that very idea last week. Says, it'll be a draw for the return of the three-hour show. Hopefully, Drew wins the belt. I talked about all this last week. And of the two big championship matches that week, if we get two of them, which one I would prefer to see a title change in, it's Drew. I just don't think he could afford to go in there and lose again. What's the point in even doing the match if you run it back just for him to lose again? The Uffman says 18 wins and one giant loss. Talk about the Patriots. I have, believe it or not, I should have worn it on the stream tonight. I could change out of it right now. No, that'll be for members only. I have a t-shirt that literally just has 18 and one on it. And I wore it for quite some time after that Super Bowl. Still have it. Heart of Debonair, buy, rewatch, delete the rivalry. Austin versus Rock, Taker versus Shawn, Cody versus Roman. Well, we're deleting Cody and Roman, as great as it was, as great as the matches were. You could say goodbye to Cody and Roman. I'm going to rewatch Taker and Shawn, and I'm going to buy on Austin and Rock. Austin and Rock is just an all-timer. Very entertaining. Super Pony. If Cody loses to Oba, that means Drew is fucked. They ain't going to have Cody lose two big matches in a row. Drew fans should be rooting for Cody. It's a good way to look at it. If you are a Drew McIntyre fan, you should be rooting for a Cody Rhodes win, or at least a no contest if Drew gets involved. Him losing two in a row is very unlikely. A rectangle, thank you. Rectangled Galaxy. Bobby Means, SmackDown Women's Division needs call-ups ASAP now that the show is going back to 3 hours. He would put it on par with Raw. Ruka and Bayley could kill it. We'll find out tomorrow. They're going one-on-one tomorrow. Jeremy Rose says, main event was a bore. Lame finish as predictable. However, was hoping for something crazy. Like Alistair's fireball to Rhea, making him heel of the year. Didn't China take a fireball to the face from Kane? I think she might have. Yeah, I mean, look, they beat Aleister, and that's it. This feud is over. I mean, there's not much more they could do with it. But where do they go with Aleister Black next? Like, given the SmackDown roster as it is, I can't even think of who would make sense to put him with. Where does he even go from here? I don't know. Alexander, I wonder who did Julia piss off in the office. I don't think she pissed off anybody. I just think that they don't have anything really worthwhile for her because to them, she's not a priority. They look at her and go, someone looks at her and goes, we can't really make money off her, so we're not going to really focus on her. And I think that sucks. I think that's a mistake. Triple H needs to learn you can't reheat the cold French fries. That is Damian Priest. Yeah, trying to reheat French fries in a microwave is awful. The only way to do it is in the air fryer. You could take it from me. I've tried. Heating up French fries, like soggy French fries in the microwave, but you put that shit in the air fryer, they come out all crispy. It's great. I think when I bought my air fryer last year, like there are a few moments in life that I would say are truly life-changing. That was one of them. Because before that, I just had a regular toaster oven, and then it shorted out, and that went kaput, and I'm like, oh, now I have space on the counter. Let me buy one of these air fryer things everybody talks about. And it's great. It's a game changer for sure. Base Beerus, I wholeheartedly sympathize with you. 3 hour Raws and SmackDown. Well, we're not quite at 3 hours of Raw yet, but wouldn't shock me if it ends up going three at some point. Prince Vegeta, if you had the pen, would you have had Ryback win the title in 2012? And if he did become champion, would he have stayed in the main event? I would have. Yes, I would have put the title on Ryback. When he took Cena's place in that Hell in a Cell match against Punk, I would have put the title on Ryback. He was that over at that point. I think you go with your hot hand. I don't know how long it would have lasted. Maybe Ryback would have continued to soar. You know, maybe he would have fizzled out. But Punk was in the middle of that 434 days. He was in the middle of that run. They didn't want to do that. And, you know, we had Punk and Rock at the Royal Rumble. Doesn't mean that Ryback had to hold the championship until then. Could have dropped it back to Punk, you know, a month or two later if they felt like it wasn't working out. But as over as he was, yes, believe it or not, I think I would have put the belt on Ryback. I smoke a lot of weed. Eddie was right before my time, literally because the first thing I saw was Randy running Taker with the lowrider and been hooked to wrestling ever since. What about you? You asking me about what my like first wrestling memory was that got me hooked? I mean, the first wrestling memory for me that had me scared to death was Randy Savage and Ricky Steamboat in 1987 heading into WrestleMania 3. When Savage came off the top rope to the floor, Ricky was over by the metal guardrail. And he got his throat knocked right into the guardrail. And he's grabbing his throat. He couldn't breathe. He's coughing. He's gasping for air. They end up having to carry him out on a stretcher. I thought the man was dying. I thought I was witnessing a death in real time. So that would be my earliest wrestling memory. Moore says, WWE is down 32% from the last time in this venue, 5,300. Well, that's what happens when you put together a show like the one we had tonight, where people are like, eh, you know what? I'm not really all that interested in this. That and you're charging what you are charging for tickets. This is inevitable. This is what's going to end up happening. Paul Carpenter, Triple H, too safe. We need more gimmick matches, more matches on PLEs, more main event stars, more title defenses from top champions on TV. I'll throw another one in there. I don't think we need every fucking title reign to be super long either. I'm not saying hot potato the thing, but I think we need fewer long title reigns. Make things a little more interesting. Make things a little more exciting. Somewhere along the way, it just became, how many records can we set? This person's been champion for X number of days. This person's been champion for, I mean, we had Roman Reigns, right? 1300 something, 1360, right? Was that the number? Athena, over 1,000 days as Ring of Honor Women's World Champion. And you could find other ones. Mercedes, 500 and something days as the TBS champion. And before that, it was Jade at 500 and something days as the TBS champion. And Gunther, 666 days as the Intercontinental champion. And so on and so on. And it's like, fuck, man. Like, a few of them here and there, okay. But, like, why does it feel like every title reign has to be super long and months and months and months? It's fucking boring. Where did this become the norm? Luis with a 15. John Cena should have been Kurt Angle's final opponent when Kurt was having his retirement match. Screw Vince McMahon and bum-ass Baron Corbin. Hell yeah. That's right, Luis. And actually, that's also for the 10 out of 10 that we hit on the bonus goal in the chat, which guarantees at least one round of Be the Booker, although we are only 25 likes away. Look at that. From maybe a double. Can we make it? Thank you, Luis. Base Beerus with a pair of super chats says, there isn't a definitive face of AEW. Do you agree? Yeah, I mean, I would say Hangman was probably the closest thing. I kind of look at him as like the main character. But at the moment, especially now that he lost the belt and Swerve is back, Ospreay's out, MJF has been out, there is no real definitive face of the company. I would agree with that. Also, Tekken King, the pro wrestler with the leopard head. Oh, is that okay? Yeah, I know him. Nick Grasso, what's your thoughts on Sarah Stock going scorched earth on all the wrestling companies? Yeah, I've only been keeping track of some of what she's saying. Look, I mean, more power to her if there's any truth to any of the stuff, but she's not exactly the greatest messenger given some of the things that she's said on social media, especially the things that she had to say about Amanda Huber and some of the insults, and then the stupid comment she made when somebody mentioned something about Vince. And she was like, he didn't rape me. I don't care, he didn't rape me. He was good to me. Yeah, she's not exactly the most reliable messenger. And Base Beerus says, Fiend is everywhere. Yeah, don't remind me. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. You know, in this country, it's illegal in almost every state to drive without car insurance. But that doesn't stop people from doing this very thing every single day. And maybe you fancy yourself a great driver with an impeccable driving record. But you know, there's all kinds of crazy people on the road these days. So why in the world would you ever want to take that risk? That's what going online is like without ExpressVPN. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, whether it's in a hotel, at the airport, or anywhere really, just know that your data is not secure. Any hacker on that same network can easily gain access to and steal your personal data. And let me tell you, that's a pain in the rear end that you don't want to have to deal with. Your data is valuable, too. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling your personal information on the dark web. I mean, it's called the dark web for a reason. You don't want your data floating around there. ExpressVPN stops hackers from stealing your data by creating a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. ExpressVPN is the best VPN because it's super secure. It would take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years just to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. It's also very easy to use. Just tap one button and you're protected. It also works across all of your devices. Doesn't matter if it's your phone, your laptop, tablet. It works on all of them. And check this. Plans start at just $3.49 a month. That works out to just 12 cents a day. I was on the road in Chicago a few weeks ago. I had my ExpressVPN loaded up on my phone at the venue and at the hotel as well. You can never be too safe. My privacy is important, so for me, it's totally worth the very minimal effort involved in keeping my stuff secure. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/solomonster. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster to find out how you can get up to 4 extra months. expressvpn.com/solomonster. Chris Lloyd says, "Hey Solo, I'm almost 7 months sober." Well, that is very cool to hear. "Just finished physical therapy for a ruptured disc in my neck. Christmas is right around the corner, guys." Well, Chris, that sounds very painful. So hopefully the physical therapy goes well, but 7 months sober is awesome. And long may it continue. I'm sure that can't be easy, but you just, and I don't need me to tell you this, but just one day at a time. 1 foot in front of the other, man. That's all you need to worry about. But Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you. Here's to a better 2026. Base Beerus. Victoria would have thrived today. She was great. Yeah, Victoria was very good. Scumdog. Be the Booker. Let's go. And Sound Off Podcast was my number one podcast on Spotify. I got to see your message. Oh, that's good. I'm glad. Yeah, this year they allowed creators or certain creators to upload like a short video message. And I did it. And they said, "We'll be back to you to let you know if it was approved." And they never got back to me to tell me if it was approved. So I'm like, well, either they're not using it or I guess they'll use it. But I don't see it. So I was hoping that people would see it. Because they never got back to me and told me whether or not it was accepted or not. Base Vera says, "Cena worked with K-Fed and Travis Scott. Who performed better?" Oh, Kevin Federline by far. He knew his role and he got a lot of heat. They got more out of him than they did Travis Scott. All they got out of Travis Scott was a busted eardrum for Cody Rhodes. Good job. Jeremy Rose, "Where was Orton? Thought he was coming back tonight." No, originally he was advertised for last week's SmackDown. Locally, he was advertised for that show. And now I think he's in Saudi Arabia, I think. So I don't even think he's going to be there tomorrow night, unless he's flying right back. And Kelsey. "Uncle Dave got back his credibility. Do you agree?" Look, Dave gets things wrong and Dave gets things right. I still think he gets more right than wrong. And he's gotten a bunch of things right over the last couple of months. You know, he was the one who first mentioned Lash Legend to War Games. He was the one who mentioned Austin Theory. And we'll see if that one pans out. But he mentioned Cena and Dom at Survivor Series. And there's been a few other things also. So, you know, he's very up and down, but I think he's more up than down. But, you know, he makes it easy to mock him and just rag on him, especially when he's wrong. Orton's on vacation. Orton's on vacation? That's the longest vacation I've ever seen in my life. I want to go on that vacation. He's been on vacation for like 3 months. Was he on a cruise around the world? He was on vacation, but that doesn't account for the other 2 months he's been out. All right, so let me take a look at these member chats now. Hopefully I don't miss anybody. Sidro, with 17 months of membership, was trying to think of a bald joke, but I got nothing off the top of my head. And cops are investigating a case of stolen underwear. Suspects are being debriefed. I would hate to have that job. I'll let Sidro take care of that. Angel Alaga, 13 months of membership. That's awesome, Angel. You know, it is the holiday season, so if you're in the spirit of gifting, you could always gift memberships to people on the channel as well. Don't forget. High Life, High Life Viz, welcome to the channel. And Dark One 77, just stopping in to say happy holidays, Solo. Enjoying the sound of, you're killing it, brother. Well, Dark One, thank you. I just saw Dark One in the chat. See, Dark One's got a ways to go. Dark One's only got 1 month of membership, so he's got some catching up to do, but he'll get there. Dark One, as you can see, we are enjoying the snowy holidays here on the channel, so I hope you're having a very good month. There we go. Look at that. The Winston slip. Just gifted a membership, and who got it? Sage Valant received a gifted membership. Now, when Sage comes back onto the channel, if Sage is not with us right now live, Sage is going to see that, oh my God, I got a membership. And he's going to have the Winston slip to thank for it. The Winston slip also says, my first SmackDown, Big Show threw Mankind, Mankind in a grave. Dude, I remember exactly the match you're talking about. It's still one of the craziest things I've ever seen. That was the only tag team buried alive match. Might have been the only buried alive match we ever had on TV. I'll never forget that. That's like the old school SmackDown stage with the Ovaltron. And there was some distance from the stage to the grave, like that mound of dirt. And fucking Big Show, man, he just like projectile threw, and Foley is no small man, and he just threw Mankind from the stage. He lands on the mound of dirt, like on the grave. He bounced. Dude, he bounced one hop into the grave. One of the coolest things I've ever seen. Oh, look at Scumdog just gifted 5 channel memberships. 5 of them. He won up to Winston by 4. Rectangled Galaxy, Punch McLightning, Sarah, Duff's Vids. I thought Duff's Vids was already a member. And Shutterbug Fan. Look at that. Oh, there's Sage. Sage is here. Sage is with us. Sage is grateful. I didn't know if Sage was with us. Look at that. Sage Valant says, I am grateful. Scumdog, that's very kind of you. 5 gifted memberships. What's a membership gift? Well, I mean, it's exactly what it sounds like. You can buy a membership for yourself, or if you want to gift them to people, they're assigned randomly. But you should be able to, there should be one of the, one of the buttons on the side there. And you can gift memberships to as many people as you would like. That's how it works. Yeah, Mick broke ribs on that bump. He mentioned it at one of his... I could see why. The way he landed, surprised he didn't break multiple ribs. It's a crazy... I mean, he's taken crazy-ass bumps his entire career, but, I mean, that one was nuts. All right, we hit 10 out of 10 on the bonus goal, and we are currently at 416 likes, which means that you guys are getting a double B the Booker. Yes, yes. Man, I thought we were going to have to wait until Saturday night's main event for that, but you may get back-to-back nights. If you guys show up and show out tomorrow, like I think you will, we may get back-to-back nights of double B the Booker. So let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
Let's do it. You know it's a good night when we get 2 rounds of Be the Booker. Rectangle wants to know, curious on the Cody versus Orton. Who should be the face and who should be the heel? I think it would be actually more interesting if Cody was the heel and Randy was the face. Just because most people were assuming the opposite. Or maybe if they could find a way to do it. See, but this would be like long-term booking here. If you put the two of them together as both baby faces to have like a match, or initially a match for the championship, but then have Cody go heel. And then Cody becomes the heel, Randy stays babyface, and then you have like a whole program out of it. I feel like, to me, that would be more interesting. All right, we begin with Solid Monsters' favorite tag team of all time. Them and the Hart Foundation, they're right there. Demolition, Axe and Smash, if there's any justice in this world, they will be part of the 2026 WWE Hall of Fame class. And Demolition will be taking on the team of Hangman Adam Page and Kenny Omega. Two generations locking up, man. Demolition. Hangman and Omega. That's a main event on any show right there. I'll close my show with that. Instant bell. That's what that is. That is an instant bell. All right, women's Be the Booker. We have Piper Niven, unfortunately out with a neck injury right now. But Piper Niven is with us. That was from her Doudrop days. Don't you remember Doudrop, everybody? Piper Niven and Carmella. Not really feeling it. I mean, we just went from Demolition against Kenny Omega and Hangman Page to this, so. Doesn't really entice me. Our first of two main events tonight. Well, this man is not going to be any other place on the card. It's in his contract. Hollywood Hulk Hogan is in the main event. Where else would he be? You think he's going to curtain jerk? Hollywood Hogan is in the main event here in Be the Booker, and Hollywood Hogan is taking on Yokozuna. Two heels. Hollywood Hogan and Yokozuna. And you guys are going to think I'm crazy. I am giving that the buzz. I don't think that's going to work. You know, there was always a rumor that Hogan tried to get Yokozuna into WCW. You know exactly why he wanted to get Yokozuna into WCW. To get his win back. To get his win back. You ain't getting your win back on my dime, Hogan. That ain't gonna happen. I am depriving you of getting your win back. You lost. Hulkamania got squashed. Now we move on to round 10. Not on my watch. It's not happening. That don't work for me. That's right. Well, now we got some stipulations to pick here for round number 2. All right, we're going to have ourselves a good old-fashioned dog collar match. These things can get very violent and very bloody. In fact, in this match here with Piper and Valentine, Piper had his eardrum busted by one of the chain shots. So it's going to get violent. Now, I don't know about doing a tag match. So why don't we, man, do we do a women's dog collar match? We'll do a women's dog collar match. You'll see those too often. I don't think I've ever seen one. Except right here. And Be the Booker. Women's dog collar match with Becky Lynch. I mentioned Becky Lynch. She would be on my Mount Rushmore for the ladies. Becky Lynch. Going to put that dog collar around her neck, and who is she going to be attached to? Uh-oh. This is not going to end well for Becky Lynch. Amazing Kong, Awesome Kong, Karma. She's had many names over the years. Awesome Kong and Becky Lynch in a dog collar match, though. I mean, that's a pretty good pick. That's a pretty good pick right there. And you know, we should have had Awesome Kong and Gail Kim in a dog collar match. See, now that would have been something. Yeah, rest in peace, Becky. This is probably the end of Becky Lynch if we do this match. All right, we got ourselves a tag team loser leaves town match. One of these teams is gone. I might even have to legitimately remove them from Be the Booker if they lose. Although, who's losing? We have to figure out who wins and who loses. All right, let's see. Loser leaves town, tag team style. We have the Natural Disasters, Earthquake, and Typhoon. What do you think their combined weight was at that time? I'm going to say this was a total combined weight of 731 pounds. That's what I'm going to say. All right, loser leaves town, man. Someone's staying. Someone's going. Oh, I know who's going. I know exactly who's going. That's it. I'm going to write this down right now. Best friends. Best friends. There you go. Best friends are gone from Be the Booker. They're gone. They lost. They lose the match. Hey, look, stipulations matter. There are consequences to these stipulations. Say goodbye to best friends. And now we get to our main event. They shall be removed. Kennel from Hell. Oh, come on now. We can't do this. We actually just had a Kennel from Hell match like 2 weeks ago. But those are the rules. Nothing I can do about it. We have a Kennel from Hell main event. This is going to have to be one hell of a match for me to give this the bell. My finger is itching already to touch the buzzer. I'm sure he's going to enjoy this. I'm sure he's going to enjoy this greatly. Jim Cornette. Actually, that's the look that he had on his face when he found out that he is going to be in a Kennel from Hell match, which is a Russo special, by the way. I should say that Vince Russo has struck again, and of all people, he has chosen Jim Cornette to be in this Kennel from Hell match. You know, Russo is in here. It'd be kind of funny if we land on him. Kenny Omega will be wrestling Jim Cornette in a Kennel from Hell match. I have to see this match. Twinkle Toes McFingerbang is going to be wrestling Jim Cornette in a Kennel from Hell match. I would pay pretty decent money, actually, to see this match. And the question really isn't so much, what is Kenny Omega going to do to Jim Cornette? The question is really, what is Jim Cornette going to do to Kenny Omega in this match? Dave will give it 5 stars. Dude, I think Dave might be in Kenny's corner. He may be managing him for this match. Don Callis interferes and Jim wins. Oh, I'd pick Cornette to go over here. You know, in a Kennel from Hell, there's no rule against bringing a tennis racket in there. I love it. See, this is the kind of thing you never know what you're going to get in Be the Booker. Kenny Omega against Jim Cornette in a cage. I'm sure Jim Cornette would love to get Kenny Omega in a cage. He would love to end Kenny Omega in a cage. What a match. That's right, a Be the Booker classic. You got a classic main event, and you got the dogs outside running around, right? I'm glad we stuck with the stipulation. The promo Cornette would cut would be epic. Oh, yeah, the pre-match promo, the post-match promo. Tell him, man, he's got that racket. You can't count him out. Well, look, bring that same energy tomorrow, and we get to run it back. And we get to pick a whole new spate of matches. Because tomorrow night, I'm going to be live with you right here on this very channel talking John Cena's farewell. Full review of Saturday night's main event as soon as the show is over. It's an 8 o'clock start. Usually they're about 2 hours, but apparently they can go as long as they want. So if Cena does a big long speech after the match, there's no telling. It could be 2.5 hours. It could be 3 hours. But I would suspect by about 11 o'clock is when I'll be live here on the channel. So come join me then. I haven't stopped laughing yet. The Observer posted a clip on Twitter of them confirming that Cena versus Gunther was going on first tomorrow. I quote tweeted and posted a lengthy rant. Yeah, they are not going on first. I can believe that they were deciding on what the order was going to be, and then they ultimately decided on them going last. But honestly, it never should have been a thing to even consider. That match has to go on last. That's it. The whole show is based around that match. I mean, this is just, it's ridiculous. I saw people going, oh, you know, back in the old days of Saturday night's main event, sometimes they'd put the main event on first. Yeah, I'm well aware of that. They used to do that on Monday Night Raw, too, in the early days. The difference, of course, is that most of the people that are going to be in the building tomorrow and watching at home on Peacock are watching to see John Cena's final match. So if John Cena was true to his word and really wanted a spotlight on the NXT talents, the last thing he would do is give people a reason to tune out when his match is over. Like, that just never made any sense to me. So, thankfully, they are going on last. What do I think the order is going to be? If I was laying out this show, if I was booking this show, I am putting... That's a good question. I think that what I would do is I would go Cena. Cody and Oba. I would open with Cody and Oba. And then from there, I would go to the tag team match. And then you do Bayley and Sol Ruka. And then you do Cena and Gunther. That's how the match order would go. So we'll all find out tomorrow. Yeah, I mean, Saturday night's main event back then, if you want to go back to the beginning days on NBC, I mean, it was on whenever Saturday night's or Saturday Night Live was preempted. So those shows were starting at 11:30. And the numbers those early shows did were sick. I mean, it would do really good numbers. Of course, none better than the show, which technically wasn't Saturday night's main event. Pretty sure it was a Friday, so they called it the main event. But the one where Andre beat Hogan to win the title in 88, I don't know if the entire show did this, but their match, right, parts of the show, had as many as 33 million people. Think about that. 33 million people watched at least a part of that show that night. That is insane. So numbers that just will never be matched. It's not possible. How do you even measure it today? You know, because everything is clipped and posted on TikTok and Instagram and everything. So, yeah, I mean, there are things on social media that'll get 50 million views. But, like, how do you really measure that shit today? Everything is so fragmented. That's what makes it more impressive. Back then, it was just NBC. That was it. That was it. There was no other network that it was airing on at the same time. There was no streaming. 33 million people to watch Andre the Giant beat Hogan and win the championship and end a four-year title run with a hip toss. Called it a suplex, but it was a hip toss. B-Punk. Or we could do BP Unk, right? Like Miz is Javon's Unk. Copy this be the booker so I can ask JD about it on TNT. Well, I mean, you saw the matches. You could just bring it up yourself. Just write down what the matches were. Retro KOH buy or sell. Corny versus Kenny in the kennel or Solomonster against Kali in the Punjabi prison. I think we would go Corny and Kenny in the kennel. I don't think anybody wants to see Solomonster against Kali in the Punjabi prison. That was a horrific draw on Be the Booker that time. Yes. Then Andre gave a great post-match interview where he told Mean Gene, "I surrender the tag team championship to Ted DiBiase." I go, what? The tag team what? That doesn't look like the tag team title. Oh, and then Hogan pressed Earl Hebner over his head on Earl's first night when they did the twin Hebner angle. And he got a running start. And he threw him out of the ring and threw him right over Andre and DiBiase and Virgil's heads. And I think he got injured. And then Hogan whined and cried about the plastic surgery. Look at the money falling out of his pocket. Yeah, he did that a lot in his career. I look back on it now, but like Hogan did a lot of crying during his career. He cried when he lost the title in 88, right? He cried and moaned about Sid eliminating him from the Royal Rumble, which was completely legal. Nothing wrong with it. Pulled him out of the ring, too. Gave Ric Flair the win. If I can't win, nobody can. Always said Hogan was a heel. He was a heel masquerading as a babyface. I said it for years. I just didn't realize it when I was a kid. Be well, stay safe, and I will see you for the Saturday night's main event review tomorrow. Until then, take care, guys.